Yes. Yeehaw. It is Thursday. It is 9. So that means it's UK Cowboys time. How we doing, Mr. Double Scottish?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Happy. Yeah. I'm all booked up. All booked up for Houston, the Houston game. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, I know we were speaking last night and about 2 o'clock in the morning. You were like, yep, fucking my flights. And I was like, good luck to you.
I was up till 4 o'clock this morning doing that.
When you said it was like 2 o'clock, I was like, I'm going to bed.
No, I literally stayed up till 4 o'clock this morning looking at the Airbnbs and all of them are obviously available. I was just trying to find ones that were good in the area that I really like, which is in Lower Greenville, which is like close to our good friend Meg Murray. Really close and near our other friend Jeff Kavanaugh in that area. So found a really nice spot. It's a really, really nice. I'll need to send you the link to it, man.
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. I like Little Greenville. It's quaint. I like to call it quaint.
It's very, very chill, nice bars, restaurants. Yeah. It's got a nice strip. And yeah, it's really nice area. Yeah. Really nice area.
Yeah, I do like it. Like, if I was to move somewhere, it probably would be somewhere like Little Greenville, just because it's just so calm and quiet. And it needs an injection of an agent of chaos in there.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember the area that where my friend Jerry took me again. It's up north. It's near Ellis in Texas. It's like in between Arlington and Plano. In the diagonal way, it's in between there. Grapevine, that's the name of it.
Oh, yeah.
Grapevine is beautiful, absolutely beautiful place. That's the place I would love to stay if I moved to Texas, is Grapevine.
There you go. So we're covered geographically if we ever all move it. And I think Lorne would probably be a downtown guy.
No, I'd go Greenville. Lower Greenville was lovely. Downtown Dallas was just a bit too hectic, even for me. I mean, I've been living out in the suburbs for a while now. So,
You ever noticed that as we get older, guys, it's like the more we want to get away, further away from the city as we get older.
You just want to sit in your own chair and chill out, like.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's definitely different for you guys, but you know, Glasgow and even Edinburgh. So, you know, Edinburgh, I should say.
Oh, God, the amount of people that actually pronounce Edinburgh wrong is ridiculous.
Edinburgh.
And Glasgow.
Glasgow. Sorry to our American listeners. We're not mocking you. We're just wanting to make sure that you're pronouncing it correctly. Same with my surname. It's not Stuart, it's Stuart.
There we go. And we've just lost about half our audience in one conversation. But, okay. First of all, we are in the off-season program. We spoke about this. We're going to do the positional breakdown series. For the next few weeks, go through every single position. This week is a little bit easier. So we're going to do a mix and match. We're going to talk about the schedule release. And we'll talk about the quarterbacks. There's only three to talk about. So we'll rip through them fairly quickly. So we'll start off with the schedule release. Anybody at home, let us know if there's a game you would like to go to. Just put it in the comments. Let us know. At the same time, while you're putting in the comments, head over to our YouTube channel. Just go give it a rate, review, a like, a subscribe. Same with our Spotify and podcast channels. Go do the same. We are going to run a sneaky competition in a few weeks, and we'll try and see if we can get something together on that, see what we could do to get people engaging. But all right then, guys, let's talk about the schedule release. I know me and you, Paul, spoke about this at length, and we gave our predictions. I mean, let's start with that first, right? Mm-hmm. So, Lorne, we haven't got yours, but I'll give you me and Paul. We did ours last night. I was a 12-5. Yep. We kind of changed over on a few games, funnily enough, where we thought some were a loss, some were a win. We flipped on quite a few. Paul is 11-6. What's your prediction for the Cowboys' final record at this stage? I know we haven't got to training camp. I know we're only just in the ventures of rookie minicamp. So we're at the just off what you can see with the schedule, with the way things are lined up, what's your prediction? And let us know at home too.
I think we've still got a good core of a team. It's a very difficult schedule, I think, looking at it. I mean, you've got two good games, or you've got opening night against the Cleveland Browns. You can hope that Myles Garrett's out of condition, but if not, that's a big test for Tyler Guyton and Cooper Beebe, or whoever's manning the inside of that line anyway. You know, and just as you go through the whole schedule, it's, you know, the big team, the New Orleans Saints is actually a good squad. They were competing last year as well for playoff spot. Then you've got Baltimore Ravens. You then got an easy game potentially against the New York Giants, but then, you know, the Giants will be up for that, especially in their horrible new uniforms that they're trialing on one of those nights anyway. You know, and then you've got a fairly wicked stretch where you've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, you've got the 49ers after the bye week, you've got Detroit Lions before the bye week. Again, you've got the Atlanta Falcons in the middle of that, but then you've got two games at home the next 2 weeks against Philadelphia and Houston. You know, it's there's no sort of real respite in this schedule, to be honest. So you can't immediately mark it down and say those are guaranteed wins or anything like that, because you're playing hard games the week before, and you know you can just see that one thing would happen there, but. I think genuinely, I'll probably go 11-6 as well at the moment.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned about the schedule, Lauren, because if there's one thing I noticed of how it's been structured, there's no double headers that are like two juggernauts of a team's. Like when I say that, like we're not playing San Francisco then the week after it's Philadelphia or vice versa.
Yeah.
Like it seems to
Baltimore,
be like
Baltimore. Yeah.
Or Baltimore, San Francisco. It seems to be like based on last season's teams, it seems to be like mid big team, mid low team, big mid team, like in that type of order. There's no big games in a row type of scenario. So I think in terms of that, it's actually worked out quite nicely. The thing I'm quite concerned about is the three games in November, I think it is, and it's within 10 days apart.
Yeah.
So there's one game, it's the Sunday, then it's the Thanksgiving game, then it's after that, I think it's, I can't even remember, but basically...
You're talking about Washington.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the 18th to the 28th.
Yeah.
Go on. Sorry. Keep going, Ron.
Well, if you're going that way, it's Houston Texans on the 18th, away to the Commanders, and then back home for the Giants on Thanksgiving. Then you've actually got the Bengals the following week as well. So. You know, that's a fairly tough sort of 3 weeks there, three calendar weeks, if nothing else. So.
Yeah, that bit, that section of the schedule is always that November section, because you're just waiting for it. And, you know, you think like they're doing one game every 3 days.
Yeah.
It's harsh. But I think one of the things you mentioned, though, Lorne, was what me and Paul was talking about. I think it's quite important is Steelers, and Baltimore early in the season. So those cold weather outdoor games earlier in the season, plus 49ers earlier in the season, Santa Clara, you know, as you get past sort of Halloween time, November, it gets very damp, very cold. You know, you see injuries over there picking up quite a lot. But the big one, I think, is the Cowboys get the bye week. So they have an extra week to prepare for the 49ers, which I think is really important.
Yeah, where last year we had the bye week after the 49ers game. So, you know, we were able to go off. Or no, we didn't.
No, you're right.
We had the Chargers after that, but. You know, this is at least hopefully should give us a chance to prepare. And, you know, make sure the schedule's all sorted out there for going up against them, so that you're at your best. So that's obviously the matchup that most people will have probably circled this year for us, I think. So
I agree. Yeah. So I mean, like, apart from that, I think we spoke about the season opener, which is an away game, but it's in Cleveland. Like the idea for Cowboys fans to go to Cleveland, because you can make a weekend of it and go to Canton and go to the Hall of Fame. That's something for Cowboys fans to look forward to, because it's not often you get to do it. And I know I've spoken to a few people who are actually from Ohio and Cleveland, and they're like, well, you know, it's not like a party town. It's not like amazing. There's not loads here. There is stuff to do. But in comparison, and I'm not slagging people off in Cleveland. I love Ohio, but they just like saying that. And I'm just like, yeah, but talking about football fans, really, what do they need? They need, if they, you know, somewhere to go watch the game and eat and drink beer and have a good time all together, and like anything football related that you've got. Well, Cleveland's got the biggest thing you can have that's football related, which is the Hall of Fame. I would easily be, I could spend an entire day in there, like probably longer.
Oh, you know what I'm like with the history, so you know, I'd probably, you know, I could go for a whole weekend or something like that.
Yeah,
probably still only get through two or three of the rooms or whatever. But,
yeah. Lauren, you're the type of person where we're actually ending up getting a job offer more ahead of me.
We'll all be trying to marry Lauren to get over there.
I know.
Yeah, no, so I mean, like, there's that angle. The other one as well, I think. The only negative I think I have, and it's probably the biggest negative most Cowboys fans have, is that the Eagles game at the end of December, so just after Christmas, that's a harsh time in a harsh environment to be playing that game. And when we went through it, we was like, I'll ask you this. Can you see the Cowboys beating Tampa Bay this year? That was the noise we made.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these teams, certainly the off seasons that they've had, where we seem to have stood still in some respects as well. You know, we're putting a hell of a lot on the players that are returning for the season, and these new rookies that are coming in to fill the voids that of players who have gone elsewhere. You can say on paper, oh, that game's an easy game or whatever. But I mean, Tampa Bay were in the playoffs last year. Exactly. They knocked out the Eagles last year.
Exactly.
Albeit the Eagles basically jumped off a cliff from week 10.
Also true.
They certainly did.
Yeah.
From that point of view, but I mean, you'll know closer on whether Baker Mayfield is earning his contract or, you know, and whether, you know, Mike Evans is worthy of his $53 million over 2 years or whatever.
Yeah, and he's still the guy. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think they've lost a few people on defense. They brought a few new people in as well. So it's, how does that all fit together? But I mean, Tampa Bay, I mean, certainly, you know, I think, you know, as well, you saw the Rams last year. Everybody was saying that the Rams were probably not going to make the playoffs last year, weren't going to be anything, probably in line for most people's idea for the first pick in the draft this year. You know, and they actually surprised everybody by being able to reset on the move. I think Tampa Bay are like that. I think most of the teams on our roster actually, or on our schedule, are actually much the same. That, you know, even the Giants, I think the Giants have done things that
they've closed the gap.
Yeah, and I mean, you've got to remember the Giants were 2 years ago, they were in the playoffs as well. So, you know, last year was a down year because, you know, Daniel Jones got smacked around big style the first 3 or 4 weeks. You know, and then by that point in time, he was aching. You know, and then, you know, you're having to go with guys like Tommy DeVito and all that. But, you know, even they've made changes there. So I think we're going to have a lot more closer games this season. You know, and this is really going to test our team this year.
Yeah, I mean, like with me and Paul, we agreed on a few when we split on the others. But ironically, all the ones that we split on are all those games that really do hang in the balance, where they can go either way. You know, like most games, you say, like Baltimore Ravens, right? You go, based on how their team is constructed and how the Cowboys play their game, it's like their strengths are our weaknesses. And what our strengths are, they're quite good at stopping. So it's kind of like you go, well, that's not, you know, some of them are obvious. But then there's those other few, like, for instance, Tampa, you know, like, we're sitting there, like me and Paul were discussed for a while, Cleveland. Now, I know Cleveland, right? I know what you're going to say. It's Cleveland. Yeah. But like you say, they made the playoffs. They beat some difficult teams last season. And here's the problem. It's a home game. It's a home opener. And they literally, Cleveland right now, have all this time to prepare for Dallas. They have a long time. They've got like 4 months to prepare for us. So like Paul is a bit more optimistic about it. And he's like, nah, I can see this being a win. I'm like, I love it. I love it. I was just more like, I can see just like the amount of time that they got to prepare. Now, once we get to week one, that'll probably all change. It could go either way, really. But like, that's the type of game right now when you stop and you look at it. And really what you're doing is you're looking on paper, aren't you, at the moment? Because there's nothing tangible. So, and I know the games aren't played on paper, but that's what you have to do at this stage. And on paper, I think Cleveland are a closer game than we think. Giants have closed the gap in what they've done in the draft. The big underlying issue with the Giants is they still have Daniel Jones. So, and they've just lost Saquon Barkley. So they lose one of their best weapons, and they've still got one of their worst weapons still on the roster. So, like, some of them are kind of predictable, or not predictable, but on paper you go, okay, this seems a bit more obvious. But there's other ones, they just hang in the balance. And I think the Eagles, we split the games. So you're looking at how far along have the Giants come, and how quickly is Dan Quinn able to rebuild the Washington Commanders, whatever they're calling themselves nowadays. And I think that's what it boils down to.
Or see, when it comes to Washington,
yeah,
when Dan Quinn went to Atlanta, he already had the foundation already there with Matt Ryan, etc., and stuff like that. He had a fairly decent baseline to run off. He had a good, decent offensive line. He had a lot of good defensive pieces, whereas Washington is completely from the ground up.
Oh, yeah.
So this is going to be uncharted territory for Dan Quinn. Do I see him causing a threat? Potentially, but I don't see him turning Washington overnight.
Oh, God, no.
No, I just can't see it. But we have been surprised in many things when it comes to being a coach in the NFL. Some coaches have become one-year wonders and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm very, very curious to see what happens. But I'm very confident that Dallas would lay the smackdown on Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you've got a rookie QB there. You know, can he adjust to the league? He's got the benefit. He's got Cliff Kingsbury as his offensive coordinator. I think they worked together as well in college. So there was a bit, you know, there's a bit of
understanding
there as well, so that gives him a leg up, as it were. But you know, how that all comes together, how does he cope with the transition to the NFL, where everything's a hell of a lot faster, people hit harder, you know, everything. I mean, you know, he could turn around and have an RG3 like season, and you know, prepare the Redskins to playoff. Sorry, Commanders to playoffs.
speaking about RG3 and the schedule, like we do need to make a comment about the schedule release video. We do need to make a comment about that.
Do you want to?
Like, when I saw the first scene of Jake Paul on it, I'm like, oh no. But and then you had other comedians like Bert Kreischer in there for the Bucks. I thought he was hilarious in the video.
Yeah.
Like just him constantly laughing. Like it's just like some parts of it was pretty good, and you get to see Megatron and famous streamers like Ninja on there as well. And the guy, and in case anyone who doesn't know who's actually with Post Malone, that's Tim the Tap Man, infamous Twitch streamer, gamer. So I thought that was quite interesting, the approach they went in with that. But
they went for that whole TikTok thing, didn't they? That crazy.
They did. In a way, it's somewhat different. Yeah.
I mean, like, you've got to know the whole TikTok craze to get the video. So I think some of it is flying over some people's heads. I mean, I'm not on TikTok. I understand it because I know of it, and I was just kind of like.
But all credit is due. I think Derek Adelton in that did a fantastic job, and like just they kept it very simple this year, nice and simple but effective.
Yeah.
Again, for me, it's a slow boil. When I looked at it this morning, and I'm sort of, what the hell are they trying to do here? And I'm thinking, you know, what is this? And it, you know, as you were saying, Paul, it did go over my head to begin with. And then the more I'm reading articles saying, oh yeah, this is low-key, excellent work by the media team and all that sort of stuff. And you actually read what the whole thing behind it, then you get into it and you understand it a bit better. So, you know, much like when we're talking about draft picks and everything like that, you know, the last couple of years we've gone, oh, we've picked that guy halfway, and then you come back the next day and you're like, actually, you know, I quite like that pick. So it's much the same with the schedule release.
Yeah. Yes. So that's the schedule release. If you need to go and check it out, we do have it up on our Twitter and Instagram. There will be a post going up on Instagram as well with all the UK times on there. For anyone from the UK and parts of Europe, so it makes life a little bit easier for you. But let's get into this then, guys. Positional breakdown series. Okay. So let's talk about... now, normally, in the past, when we've gone to do the breakdown series and get to quarterback, most of us are all like, okay. Because it's just like, we're going to talk about Dak Prescott. We're going to talk about Cooper Rush or whoever the backup is. And it's going to be, okay. This year, it's actually a highly, and I'm not just talking about one guy. I'm talking about all three. This year, a very controversial position. It's like, you know, those Rorschach tests where they give you a bit of paper and you tell them what you see, like the psychological test. That's what the quarterback position for Dallas is like this year.
So you're talking about the Philadelphia Eagles schedule launch video. Is that what you're talking about? How they just like completely... Have you not seen theirs?
No.
That's basically what they did. They got super fans to do... Basically, it was a Rorschach type of the team logos. It's like, what do you see? And these Eagles super fans would go, oh, I see weakness and stuff like that. And this is like, and you're like, ah. But anyway, sorry. It's just literally how you just kind of said that. It just
All right, so I am somewhat as well psychic. I can talk about things I haven't seen, and I'm really good at that. I'm a little bit of a Mystic Mike. So, the quarterback position. You talk to some fans, and they'll give you one opinion. You talk to some other fans, and there is so many. But we'll start with Dak Prescott, guys. Right, first question out of the gate. Now I know his cap hit is outstanding. Can anyone remember what it was?
Was it not like 42 million or something like that?
No, it's higher than that. It's about 59.2.
Yeah, it's nearly 60 million. So the Cowboys are eating that up as it stands. Question for you guys straight out of the gate, and this is why it's so controversial. Are the Cowboys going to extend him, or are they going to eat that cap up and we're looking at the end of the Dak era?
Well, I know Steve. I know Stephen's been quoted in the last couple of weeks as trying to get a deal done, and mm-hmm. I know, you know, in our group chat, Brian is saying he expects a deal done by training camp. To me, I think they're going to take the approach of almost like shit or get off the pan. You know, I think it is. This is really, you know, Dak is a player that can get us to the playoffs year in, year out. Mm-hmm. But, and it's not all his fault, but, you know, the last couple of years we've crashed out of the playoffs because of, you know, he's certainly thrown in an interception, whether it's because he's, you know, he's been under pressure to try and make something happen. And, you know, he's thrown an interception, or he's, you know, something's happened that, you know, the offense has just gone into meltdown in the playoffs. So from that point of view, and you can take this probably as a meaning of Jerry's idea of all in as well, is that, you know, this is the final year. You're putting everything in to make sure whether you get a new contract or not. So, I mean, I think, and potentially, I mean, all three of these quarterbacks that we're going to be talking about could be out of contract at the end of this year. You've got ideas that one of the next ones that we'll get onto, you could re-sign him for relatively cheaply if he ends up making a big contribution this year and is positive as well with that. So, again, this is why Dak needs to actually prove what he can do this year. And, of course, you know that the Cowboys don't like dealing with Todd France, and Todd France will hold them over the for as much as they can. Yeah. So, you know, this is why they need to prepare to move on if need be.
You know he's a good agent when you hate him.
Yeah.
This is true. But, I mean, Paul, what's your take on the whole Dak situation?
I think a deal will be done. I mean, I had the pleasure of talking to Kyle Yeomans where I was in Dallas when we were talking about it, and that's mm-hmm. what he thinks a deal will be done before training camp, especially by, is it the June 1st deadline? Like,
no, there isn't really a deadline.
Is it because he's under contract, so they can do it?
I know, but in terms of that, it might reflect on the cap issues or something like that. It makes things easier to do the deal.
No, it's when you're under contract, it's fine. It's July 15th is normally if you're a franchise tag.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's sort of middle of the season. I think there's a November deadline or something like that where you can announce a new deal and then convert money and all that sort of stuff. But right.
Well, anyway, Kyle was really encouraging the fact that he's very confident that will happen, and kind of like the outlier saying if a deal doesn't get done, then obviously Cowboys are going to struggle for the next couple of years in terms of the cap and stuff like that, because it's going to hit us massively.
Mm. Yeah, no, it's true. Because there's really, the big part of this, I think, why it gets done, and my theory is it gets done during training camp. And I'm only saying that because historically, if you go back and look, in the middle of training camp, there's always a key player that has been done. You know, it's been, you know, Tank has got done historically in that time. And, you know, we've had other players, wide receivers and running backs, that have got done in the middle of training camp. So I think that's what will happen with Dak. I think it's going to be, and it'll be just like this completely out of the blue moment. But the reason I think it does get done is because of those void years. They cannot have all that cap going into void because it's a lot of money. It is a lot to not have him play on your team.
Yeah.
Oh, but I mean, again, if you can, you know, it's 40 million that, because everything accelerates to next year. So it's 40 million of dead cap, which if you compare that to the Eagles getting rid of Carson Wentz a couple of years ago, that was 31 million. And that was when the cap wasn't as big as that. You know, so you could actually potentially do that. And, you know, again, if we talk about Trey Lance, if Trey Lance does well enough this year that, you know, he gets called on, at least certainly in preseason, you see enough from him in preseason. If he doesn't play in the regular season, then fine. But, you know, you could potentially give him a low-ball offer next year that's enough to be a lower starting QB, but again, it's almost sort of the prove-it deal side of things. And then you've basically got him for the same that you're paying Dak anyway, so this year. So potentially there's that potential there. So
yeah, and I'm totally with you. And here's the funny thing is that, you know, I put it in a tweet a couple weeks ago because people were like saying, you know, we can move on and we can just draft one. And my tweet I put out, and I was like, these are the quarterbacks taken in this year in the 2020 draft. And it was Justin Fields. You go through these list of quarterbacks, a big name, Mac Jones. And I was like, look at these quarterbacks. All these guys went in the first round. Not a single one of them are no longer on the team they were drafted with. Not only that, the teams that they've been traded or have gone to aren't even picking up their fifth-year option. So you want to draft a quarterback? Let's get excited about that fact, looking at what we're just staring at. And I know, Paul, you've talked about first-round quarterbacks before. I mean, what do you think?
A bit too much. just because you're a first-round quarterback that does not guarantee you, like, they're going to be your franchise player. It's point proven. Like, I find this quite interesting. So, speaking about like the quarterbacks, so do you remember when Mahomes and was Lamar Jackson drafted the same year as well? No, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Adam from I think it's ESPN, can't mind his second name, was talking about the story about San Francisco, how Kirk Cousins almost became the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. They were willing to do that. Then obviously the Jimmy G trade happened, yeah, and that kind of threw things out the woodwork. Mm. And ever since then, and what they got in terms of the trade, they kind of trade away and got a basically kind of all folks back into place, and they used that compensation pick in after all those years, how they traded other players away, then they're getting Brock Purdy. So it just comes to show, it's like, it doesn't matter it does matter in terms of ability. Yeah, that's always a key factor, but there's always going to be a quarterback out there in the draft or free agency. It's going to be purely designed, built for your offense regardless. And sometimes we've seen it with quarterbacks in the past where they could be the next best thing since Joe Montana and end up falling behind their backside. Could have been like the next Troy Aikman. Never worked out. I'm just trying to iterate that the fact that these quarterbacks going in the first round are never been promising. You've got your Zach Wilson, your Josh Rosen's, your I'm trying to think of all the other ones. The one that just
there's
went.
So many.
There's just so many of them now. Like even Baker Mayfield. Like, don't get me wrong, he's slightly turned the corner a little bit. Even Jared Goff's turned the corner a little bit. He just signed that new big year contract. That's because he's now in a system that actually complements him. He doesn't have to go above and beyond. He just needs to do the most simpler things, and it's working for him in Detroit. It's kind of working for the exact same way for Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay right now. Yeah. It just comes to show, it's like, doesn't matter. Like, if you get drafted highly, doesn't mean to say it's going to be an absolute guarantee that they're going to kick off. I mean, Dak Prescott was a fourth-round draft pick. We didn't expect anything from Dak Prescott. We knew there was upside potential with Dak Prescott when we did draft him as going to be learning from Tony Romo, but we didn't expect him to be the player who he is now today, who's now become our franchise quarterback for the past 8 years.
Yeah, well, he is a funny one. You know, you look at longest tenured quarterback to be on his original team. Dak is the only one. And he's a fourth-round pick.
Yeah, there you go.
So like, you say let you know, some of these people, oh, get rid of Dak, let's just draft a quarterback. Yeah, okay. But I can trump your just draft a quarterback with this fact.
Yeah, like, and that's the thing though. It's like, okay, right, so who are you thinking about drafting? Are you thinking about drafting Sanders? That's a bad idea to me personally. Yeah. I don't want a guy, and I know this is so early on right now. Like Sanders will get drafted by some team, but there's so many question marks for a guy like him who questions former teammates, puts him under the bus. Do you want a guy like that coming into Dallas to really change the mood of the dressing room? I don't want that.
Yeah.
No, I agree. And I think, you know, he'll find it difficult. You know, he's benefited from being the son of the coach that, you know, at both schools that he's been at, it's been his dad who's been the coach. So, you know, nobody's going to question anything that he's actually going to say. The press will, obviously, but nobody on the teams, you know, if it got into a 1v1, you know, Dion's always going to side with his son anyway. But, you know, come to the NFL and, you know, if he keeps doing the things he's doing in the NFL, he's going to end up getting his head knocked off by one of his own teammates, Geno Smith style.
That's an odd example. Like, people thought Geno Smith was going to be was going to be drafted in the first round. He fell down to the Jets. It didn't work out for the Jets. He reinvented himself back in Seattle, and he's doing pretty well now. Yeah. It just comes to show, it's like there's always a quarterback that's going to be best suited for a particular system or a particular coach.
You know, and again, some of the best quarterbacks at the moment are quarterbacks that were drafted to sit behind somebody and you know, learn the game. Patrick Mahomes, lots of question marks coming out. The Bears traded up with the 49ers to get Mitch Trubisky. They could have waited. They could have taken Pat Mahomes, you know, and maybe Pat Mahomes wouldn't have worked out there. But, you know, Kansas City ended up trading with Buffalo. They got Mahomes, and Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith, saw how Alex Smith did it, you know, and then obviously Alex Smith moved on to Washington, you know, and Mahomes is, you know, hit the ground running as soon as he became the starter. So, and never missed an AFC championship since. So.
And now you could potentially say now it's the same scenario with Jordan Love right now for Green Bay.
Yep.
Like.
Yep.
So and it's still a wee bit early to say about Jordan Love because it's been his first full season, but the expectation of him now being under some X amount of years under Aaron Rodgers, fans would expect him to be taking that next step now to get them higher.
Yeah.
So here's the question then, right? What is your predictions in terms of Dak Prescott? What are we thinking? Do we think he's going to go out there and lead the NFL in touchdowns this year?
In terms of touchdowns, I don't know. If you're going to ask me in terms of the statistic-wise, I think he's going to have at least 25 touchdowns this year. Okay. I think he's easily going to hit over 1,000 yards in passing yards this year. That's what I think. I still think it's going to be that. If you're going to say to elite, like, who knows, there could be a take C.J. Stroud, for example, great rookie season. He might take the gun running now. He's got Stephon Diggs now. We just don't know. I think it's really hard to kind of put a guess on that. But if you're talking about from a personal player's achievements in terms of where do we expect them to be, I would put Dak on the 25-plus and the 4,000-yard-plus category.
Yeah. I tend to agree with you on that. I mean, again, there's more scope that, you know, the offense should be able to hit the ground running better because you have a better understanding with Brandon Cooks this year. The question mark, CeeDee Lamb, as long as CeeDee Lamb's away from the team at the moment doing his own stuff during the voluntary period of OTAs and mini camps, you know, is, I'm sure he is the consummate professional and he is putting the work in and everything like that. But you saw that year that Dez was in his fifth year option looking for a bigger deal and all this sort of stuff. And he spent time away from the team, finally signed the deal July 15th, came in, and that season was beset with injuries because he hadn't been doing the stuff that the Cowboys training staff had sort of prescribed, would normally prescribe to you. And you just sometimes find that when players are sort of not necessarily holding out, but just away from the team, that, you know, you can almost guarantee that they come back and they have a big injury, or, you know, they have problems during the season. So that's a little bit concerning there. But as Paul says, 25 TDs at least and 4,000 yards, I think that's what you're probably going to see.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up the comment from DJ Dog, and we saw our very own Brian made a response to it, an agreement on it. So he's saying Dak's personal stats will grow down because I believe our running game will be more successful. So in a way, I actually kind of agree in a way, because last year Dak was 4,516. So, like, I think it will be less than that. I still think it will be higher than 4,000 potentially, but looking at Dak's overall career stats, in his first three years, when Zeke was basically Zeke, like the wrecking ball that he was,
the guy, yeah,
that he was the man. 2016, that was 3,667 yards with 23 touchdowns. 2017, 3,324 with 22 touchdowns. 2018, 3,885. So it kind of went up slightly, but the touchdowns remained at 22. But 2019, that's when the decline of the running game was starting to decrease. That went 4,902 yards with 30 touchdowns. That was his season. That was his career best. Then obviously 2020, that was that he was on track to beat the record that year, until the injury.
Yeah.
Then he came back in 2021, 4,449 with 37 touchdowns. That was a career best in touchdowns. Then obviously 2022 was probably one of his worst seasons under Kellen Moore, no digs there, which was 2,860 yards, but he still managed to rack up 23 touchdowns. So there is a wee slight pattern there. So in a way I do agree with DJ Dog, but at the same time I still kind of believe there will be a slight increase, there'll be a decrease from last year, but I think the expectation, if he gets like 4,000 yards and 25 touchdowns, I think that's a good benchmark, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, put it this way, right, guys? Let's put it this way. Do we think Dak finishes off, in terms of, say, passing yards and passing touchdowns, does he finish in the top 10 of quarterbacks?
Right, so that's a good question. Based on how the other quarterbacks are and what they're expected to be, I would say yes, without a shadow of a doubt. Like you've got, like, so you have Mahomes, you've got Allen. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, you can put Jalen Hurts in there, which he's more of a running back. But I really think he can be in the top five, I would say, potentially, but definitely top 10.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you suddenly, you know, you go from being an MVP candidate to suddenly dropping off the face of a cliff. Unless, you know, if you can stay healthy all season, you know, you don't drop off. If there's any injury concerns or anything like that, that's probably the only thing that's going to hamper him. And, you know, if you look at the moment, I think CBS had obviously a way too early ranking of all the quarterbacks, and Dak was in the top 10 of that. You know, they had Daniel Jones at 32, which, you know, a lot of Giants fans were obviously up in arms about that. But, you know, the Dak is consistently sort of top 10 anyway, so you would expect him to be top 10 unless something happens where there is a switch to a different QB for injury purposes, or just he has a shocker of a game and one of these guys below him comes up and Mike McCarthy says, let's go with a hot hand or whatever. Or
well, here's the, and that's the thing though as well, and I think what we've missed out is the fact that Dak's got everything to play for this year to like get that new contract, even though like he's still going to get his, he's still getting his money regardless from the Cowboys if he does decide to go into pass rush new. But if he was to decide to move on to another team, he would still want to set a good example on the field and obviously and make Jerry second guess and actually get him signed up immediately. So I think like the pressure is on Dak to perform this year regardless.
Yeah. I mean, what you've got to remember is actually Dak has all this void money. Dak has actually had it anyway. It's just a case of it's the way that the league accounts for it. It's the same if you're a company, you buy something as a fixed asset and you depreciate it over five.
That's what I'm saying. He's already got the money. It's just that it's like the like how they're kind of breaking it up pretty much. But yeah, it's but regardless, like it's fighting for that next contract Dak's essentially fighting for, really. Whether it's with the Cowboys or it's with another team, Dak still needs to go out there and actually ball out, essentially. And he should do, and he really should do, because now, obviously, we've reinforced the offensive line, bringing Cooper, BBN, bringing Tyler Guyton, and obviously, like, we've got Tyler Smith in there in the guard position, Zach Martin there. Obviously, like, we still need to kind of hope and pray that Terrence Steele can get back up to speed and have a, like, get back to, like, that good form that we did see him at points on the 2022 season, even though it wasn't one of our best years. But he also had good glimpses last year. But if we can get him on a more consistent basis, I think Dak can actually have he could potentially have a great season. But also the fact that with a running game, that might, like, with bringing Zeke back in, could be mean less passing reps. It could mean that. So that's not going to be good for Dak's portfolio for this year to try and get a new contract, because if we're handing it more, if we're doing more rushing plays, then it might diminish that a little bit. Who knows? But it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's talk then, right, guys, about we have the last 15 minutes talking about the backup quarterback position, because this has started to heat up a little bit. Now, you got on one side Cooper Rush, who in 2022 took over for Dak while he was injured with the thumb injury, and really kept the season on track. The Minnesota game, if you remember, was phenomenal. That was really a defensive masterclass that we saw there. And there is a level of, what's the word I'm looking for? Comfort for these coaches, knowing what Cooper can produce. Now, the issue being, of course, is that there is a guy on the final year of his contract that has spent a fourth-round pick to bring into the building, who has done literally nothing so far. Now, the coaching staff are not invested draft capital-wise at all in Cooper Rush. He's an undrafted free agent. He was here before Mike McCarthy and this regime came in. If you remember as well, Cooper Rush actually left the Cowboys, went to go and play for two other teams, and then he came back. Yeah. So they are very happy in releasing him. But they are invested in Trey Lance. The issue being is, and I mean, we've got to speak to a guy who's training with Trey Lance last year, saying, look.
Yeah, Craig LeBlanc, his name is, also known as Two Live Craig, who is a developmental coach for quarterbacks and wide receivers. Fantastic gentleman. And
gave us probably more information than he should have.
he really did. But he really gave us a really good insight to what he's doing out there. And he did he worked with Mahomes and Kelce a lot this year, and clearly shown in some parts of the season, even though the Chiefs overall had a bit of a shaky regular season, but they still managed to go out there and have that championship mentality and still win.
So here's the question. There has already been comments made by Schottenheimer that he wants to give Trey Lance as many off-season snaps as he can get, right? So we've got Shotty saying that. We have not much conversation in the terms of Cooper Rush. So here's the question. First one is, who is the backup quarterback this year so far? I know we can say we don't know yet, but just as a predictive moment here, what do you think, who do you think will be the backup quarterback in week one at this stage?
Trey Lance, because the reason why I'm saying Trey Lance, right, as much as I really appreciate for what Cooper Rush has done and stuff like that, I think Trey Lance is pretty much like stylistically, physically, and attribute-wise is very similar to Dak Prescott. And I think that's why he'll be a backup, because that guy, because if you could probably, like, if Trey Lance can get himself up to speed, it would be, you don't have to diminish your game plan. If Dak was to go out, you can still stick to your game plan. And I think that's the whole purpose of being in that backup role for Trey Lance. So that's what I think. Whereas where Cooper Rush, we saw it clear as day, we had to simplify the playbook, even though Cooper Rush ran it to an absolute T. But stylistically, Cooper Rush is not the same style quarterback as Dak Prescott. So I think that's where my mindset is going towards that. And that's why I think Trey Lance will be the backup for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, as you say, Trey Lance is very much, stylistically, he's very much like Dak Prescott. He's got the ability to run, but he will stand there and throw the ball. You know, there's obviously problems with his mechanics, which obviously, as we're seeing, Two Life Craig's been working with him, and obviously, you know, the 3 hours before game time, he's been going out and doing a list of throws with the coaching staff as well. So they've been getting their understanding of it, and you know, from all comments, he improved as the season went on. So there was a bit of comfort with him as well, but not enough that you were going to turn the offense over to him unless there was a, you know, unless both guys went out in front of him. This year, though, I think you really, especially because you've invested that fourth round draft pick, you really need to see what you've got out of him, because there's question marks about whether you're going to get a deal with Dak Prescott, and potentially you could, as I say, you could move on from Dak, bite into the $40 million that you're going to have, and still get a relatively cheap deal for a couple of years with Trey Lance again. That gives you a chance to move on if it doesn't work out, gives him a chance to move on if he doesn't get another deal after that, you know, and still at least gives you something that you have a relevant talent. Now, I quite believe that, you know, again, Brian Broaddus has been talking on a couple of podcasts that, you know, if Trey Lance hadn't gone down injured with the 49ers, Brock Purdy wouldn't have been playing. And Trey Lance, you know, the 49ers didn't actually lose faith in Trey Lance. It was more that Brock Purdy came in and just worked that system, you know, much the same way as when Tom Brady took over from Drew Bledsoe.
Great example, Lauren.
There was no point that you suddenly go back to Drew Bledsoe, who was a completely different quarterback again. You know, so again, that's the whole thing is you stick with, you see what you've got with Trey Lance for us, but the 49ers would have still been playing with Trey Lance if Trey Lance hadn't gone down injured. So
yeah, that's so true, Lauren. I didn't even think about that, because yeah, like, and this is where I keep talking about, like, well, kind of unrelated, but when it comes to quarterbacks, doesn't matter where you are, where you're drafted and stuff like that, there's certain quarterbacks that can actually understand the playbook and it suits them to more of a T. Like, they can pick up things quicker mentally rather than physically. Like, and we know that Brock Purdy is not as physically gifted as Trey Lance, etc., in terms of arm strength and stuff like that, but he keeps it, like, really simple what he does, and it's kept San Francisco very relevant in the past two or three seasons. So, yeah. And this was the guy who was Mr. Irrelevant of all things. And same goes for Tom Brady, who ended up now becoming one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Like, took over a household name and Drew Bledsoe and won, what, six Super Bowls with the Patriots and one with Tampa Bay. Like, it just comes to show.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. I'm with you guys. I think it's going to be Trey Lance. But here's the last question about the backup quarterback position, guys. So we have the QB3 rule, okay? Where they could be on a roster, but they don't count to your final 53 on game day. Or 46. But here's the question for you. Yeah. With how this roster set up, you know, we're talking about plays that, because we haven't even got, which we will though, we haven't got to CeeDee Lamb, who needs a contract. We haven't got to Micah Parsons, who's just around the corner. Do the Cowboys keep a third quarterback, knowing that there's all of this cap money that needs to be shuffled around in order to be able to get and stay under the cap?
Potentially, but it could be down to the fact that they might actually let Cooper Rush go and maybe look towards a different revenue for that third quarterback as a cheaper option. Who knows?
Yeah, and they've changed the rule slightly this year so that the third QB can be on your practice squad and you can elevate them on a week-to-week basis. So again, admittedly, you've only got the three elevations and then he reverts back to you've got to actually bring him up onto 53. But, you could certainly go two QBs there and bring somebody up from the practice squad week in, week out. And maybe if you don't suddenly feel that Cooper Rush is the guy, then you start picking people off other rosters as at the final cuts or whatever, and go that way. Because I'm sure if you do try and cut Cooper Rush, I'm sure somebody will pick him up. He was, you know, he was practically on the plane to San Diego last year. Right. The whole story is that there was a lightning storm that prevented this plane leaving Dallas, and you know he woke up the next morning and said, "Oh, that was a sign," and re-signed with Dallas. So, if that's the situation that he's kept here, but you know you let him go at the end of training camp this year, then you know I'm sure somebody will snap him up.
I just want to bring up a little Max. What's the start? I have no update on that, to be honest.
So he was just brought in as a camp arm because there was no first round pick there was no first year QB. There's nobody on the roster that you could bring in as that as well. So you know, I think there was somebody last year that they brought in as well, as a tryout for the rookie mini camp, that's it.
They need a quarterback to throw to these guys, essentially.
The whole story about this guy though was he's the son of a coach, so he has that understanding of everything. He came in and he was actually controlling the huddle, showed so much poise in the huddle where normally these guys are, you know, any given Sunday steaming Willie Beeman when he comes in and throws up almost immediately, that sort of thing. That wasn't happening in this rookie mini camp. But you know, he wasn't one of these guys that suddenly arm strength or anything like that isn't suddenly going to get him a place. He's probably going to end up going back and being a graduate assistant with a college or something like that, or go back to high school and start coaching alongside his dad or whatever.
So I want to go back to one of the other previous comments from Little Mac, and welcome back, Little Mac. Good to see you coming back into the comments again. So Little Mac mentions, "I disagree. Dak has enough skins in the wall to get a max deal from Dallas or somewhere else." So in a way, you're right, because when you really do think about it, and I'm using Jared Goff as the example here, look at the amount of money that Jared Goff just got there for being pretty much being a system quarterback. So there's no way Dak is going to get less than that, what Jared Goff just got paid. There's no chance. He's going to get more than that if that's the case. That's what I think anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dak will end, you know, Dak, you're not going to suddenly say Dak's out of the league next year. I'm saying if we don't pick him up, somebody will. And maybe it's a better situation for him or something, or, you know, just something clicks a little bit better for him. But, you know, from my point of view, or the way I see this team is, you've gone only so far with Dak Prescott, and something has always happened in the playoffs, whether it's his fault or not, but something has always happened in the playoffs that, you know, there's a little bit of wariness with the front office to go and pay $60 million a year for the next 5 or 6 years to again have 6 years of getting to the playoffs but falling out, because again, he don't want to say bottles it, but something happens that, you know, he can't push you over the top. Where again you're maybe missing out on somebody coming up through the ranks that you know, you could have the next Jordan Love, your Patrick Mahomes or whatever could be in college at the moment, and you could be picking them up next in the next couple of years or whatever.
Yes, yeah. So I agree with you on that one. Here we go. Here's a question for you. Little Max coming in. He's coming in strong.
He's coming in hot tonight. Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So how many games could Dallas win with Cooper Rush, with a top 10 defense and this O-line? So I think we kind of have that answer already, I feel, when we go back to the season when Dak was injured. I mean, you're probably looking at most an 8-win season.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the teams that we faced, you know, there was Minnesota, which was okay, they were a playoff team that year, but the one that obviously gave Cooper Rush the biggest headache was the Eagles. And that was a good defense at the time. Obviously, they've now lost a few people. They've retooled that defense. They've got a new coordinator in, which again is Vic Fangio, who seems to know Dallas's kryptonite. but you know, I think Cooper Rush is limited, and if you take away his options, he's not going to run the ball on you. So, you know, that takes away an aspect of the offense as well. You need a mobile quarterback to actually, you know, even if it's only 20 yards a game that he's picking up, just that threat means that you maybe have somebody as a spy, or you may maybe put them into zone coverage, if nothing else, so that they're ready to pounce on Dak if he comes across the line.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Paul, were you going to go with one more?
Hmm?
Were you going to go with another question? Somebody made a comment.
I don't think so.
No? All right, then. Well, I mean, yeah. So that's the way I think it works. Personally, I think it's going to be Dak. Dak's the starter easily. I think Trey Lance is going to be the backup. Cooper Rush, then he's kind of, I think, in danger of being forced off the team. I think he's in danger of coming out. So he's the only one really here that's in threat, if you like. But here we go then. Let's get this done and we can get out of here. Let's pay the bills. Mr. Lorne, you can do it this week. Hit me with it, baby.
Okay, well, schedule was released last night, as Paul did. Paul went straight on Airbnb, flights, everything. And no doubt he's booking up with Cowboys Experience.
Oh, yes.
For the ultimate meet and greets, game tickets, stadium tours, and much, much more. Get to meet guys like Micah Parsons, Jay Novacek, Drew Pearson, Wanley Thomas, all these guys. Get in touch with Barry. Barry will cater everything for you as well and roll out the red carpet, and make sure you use the promo code UK Cowboys and you'll get some
free stuff. Yes, yes. So that is the first episode of the Position Breakdown series. Stick with us every Thursday, guys. We are here 9 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. if you're a little bit further along into Europe. I'm trying to. I couldn't remember the times. I'm sure somebody's going to hit me with that and slap me with it later.
I'm pretty sure it's 2 hours. Like most of mainland Europe's 2 hours. If we need any help in doubt, our good friend Joe or Giuseppe could actually help it out. Help us out with the time zone difference.
Yeah. So make sure to join us next week. We'll look at another controversial position, which is the running back position. So we got it all going on. Like I say, we'll try and run a little off-season competition as well for all of you, because, I mean, you guys are insane to join us during the off-season when there's no football, and that here you all are. Support's amazing. So we will run something just for a bit of fun. But, yes, that is it from us this week. Stay safe over the weekend. Have a great time. I mean, the weather's supposed to be lovely this weekend, which is good. Don't know why I'm talking about the weather, but there we go. But yes, there we have it. And that I started off with the first word. So these guys finish off with the last word. Have a great weekend, folks.
Right, have a good weekend, guys. Mini camps, I think, start next week, or OTAs start next week. So there's some of that to discuss as well next week. We're one week closer.
Dallas forever, Philly forever.